Alrighty. But before we get into where we had left off, it should be page 21 on confession. Just a little quick review, some of the things that we've covered. When we talk about worship, what are some words, some action words that are used? Word. Okay. What are some other words that we looked at to serve or do or to go after or to walk after, to follow? Now, as far as worship, we started off what worship is, and then we looked at who and why we should worship. And so, who and why should we worship?
God.
Okay. And because?
He created us, and
okay.
He expects it of us.
Okay. He does expect it of it. He's worthy of our praise and honor. Now, when we also looked at how we should worship, so what is the main way we could say?
Spirit and truth.
Okay, in spirit and the truth, and according to His will, according to His laws, and so, and we looked at how we can know His laws by reading and understanding. We also looked at, I think it was last week when we started off in prayer as part of our worship. What was, when we looked at the Psalms, what are some words or what's the idea that can help us understand something about prayer? I don't know if that's a good way of wording it, but what was the psalmist doing as they wrote these things? Was it a pouring out of their heart? You see words like pouring out, hear my cries, things such as this. And what else did we, what did we understand, or what does it show by the way the psalmist writes these things? What?
Trust in God. Trust, in
trust
God
that
will
He
hear.
Hears.
Trust that
yeah.
God will answer.
Okay. Okay, trust that God hears and that He'll answer. So if we're a people that truly believe that, what should that make us want to do? We should
pray more.
Okay, pray more. Okay, or to trust in it. Okay, so we'll look at we started in confession, page 21, and we were, I think, is it about mid page on y'all's? Okay, about mid page. We were just about to look at Psalm 51 and Psalm 32. So let's look at Psalm 51 first. Psalm 51. I'm just going to read some of Psalm 51, and then we'll look at some points about some of these verses. It says, "Be gracious to me, O God, according to Your loving kindness. According to the greatness of your compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only, I have sinned, and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified when you speak, and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the innermost being, and in the hidden part you will make me know wisdom. Purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Let the bones which you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain me with a willing spirit. We can stop right there. Some of the things that I was looking at, well, one thing I put on the lesson, I said, please write the verses or verse from these chapters that help explain your answer. And some of this we looked at, but in these Psalms, does it show that David recognizes his error?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So he recognizes his error. Now, in this Psalm, I just put to write some of the verses down that might help explain this. Is there any verses anybody wants to share? I mean, because this starts off in the first verse.
It's 1b, it says, blot out my transgressions, and then it goes on to cleanse me from my sins.
Okay. So, transgressions is one.
Verse 3, kind of same thing. I know my transgressions, and sin is before me.
Okay. Verse 3.
Verse 4.
Okay.
I've sinned, I've done what is evil.
Okay. And also, verse 2 talks about the iniquity and the sin. Is that what you were talking about, where it goes in? Okay.
Verse 3, my sin is ever before me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, verse 3, verse 4, verse 9, my sins, my iniquities. So we see this idea over and over. And let's look at let's look at Psalm 32. We'll read some of it. Psalm 32. How blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. How blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent about my sin, my body wasted away. Through my groaning all day long, for day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was drained away as with the fever heat of summer. I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I did not hide. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to you in a time when you may be found. Surely in a flood of great waters they will not reach him. You are my hiding place. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with songs of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way which you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Now, in this, also the same idea, what are some verses that help show that David understood his error, understood that he had done some things that were wrong? Verse 1 talks about transgression and sin. In verse 2, you see iniquity, deceit. Verse 3, my sin. Verse 5 says, my sin, my iniquity, my transgressions, guilt of my sin. So, obviously, David understands his sin here. Now, David does recognize he has sin. And as we looked at in these, several verses have something in it that shows his recognition of the error that was in his life. When he prays in this way, not only does it show his recognition of this, he is confessing this to the Lord. Why is this confession important?
Well, recognizing that we're in error and asking for forgiveness.
Okay. So we're in error. We've got to recognize our error in order to ask forgiveness. Sir?
He's rid himself of that sin to be forgiven for it. He's got to confess it.
He's got to confess it. Okay.
I think another way that acknowledges he sees that sin within himself is the bodily or the physical things that show within himself that you see throughout here.
The strain, you talking about the strain,
yeah,
because of the knowing of his sin?
Right, the physical things that you see within here. I mean, you know, that affects his body, his physical appearance and things that are so vivid in here that, you know, that you see throughout here, how it affected him physically.
Okay. Okay, so we need to seek God's favor. Now, we just looked at in these verses, the Psalm 51 and the Psalm 32, where David sees this idea of error, where it shows his error, but there's also, I don't know the best way to put it, but in with these verses, you also see, not only is he showing his error, he's confessing it, but he's also asking for forgiveness. We see in Psalm 51, it says to blot out. Okay, we looked at the idea of the transgression, but here he's asking for it to blot out. In verse 2, you see the idea of wash and cleanse. Verse 7 is purify. I shall be clean, wash me, I shall be whiter than snow. And this is Psalm 51, the verses I'm looking at here. Verse 9, hide your face from my sins, blot out. Verse 10, clean heart, renew. Verse 11, do not cast me away from your presence, do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Verse 12, it restore, sustain. Verse 14 says to deliver me. And we see this also when we were in the 32nd Psalm. The first one says forgiven and covered. Verse 2 just says do not impute iniquity, or does not impute iniquity. And whose spirit there is no deceit. Verse 5 said that you forgave. So basically, what I was doing, I just wanted to look at these Psalms and see the idea of the recognition of sin. Okay, first he recognized the error, but then he had to confess it. Okay, and it shows when doing this, because he's asking for forgiveness. Are there any questions or comments on those verses? Okay. Is it possible to hide sin from other people?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. You can hide sin from other people, but you won't hide sin from God. And just because you hide it does not change the fact that you're still sinning. I mean, you can hide this from people. We know that through the example of David. But you can still hide it. But that doesn't change that you're sinning, and it doesn't make it where it's not weighing you down, because you still have, like what you were saying, you still notice these things, and the different things it did to him, the way he reacted because of these things, the way it weighed him down.
You could harden your heart. I mean, okay. The person who believed in God, harden your heart, and it didn't have much effect on it.
Okay.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
These two Psalms, 32 and 52, or 51, you know, they're, as we just read these things, they're repetitive type of Psalms.
Mm-hmm.
These Psalms are spiritual Psalms, and you note that in some of the superheadings in this thing, they actually use these Psalms in worship service. And normally when we think about confessing sins, normally, most times we think about just us between us and God.
Right.
But here they were actually using these Psalms in worship service, and even though they're very pointed about David and Bathsheba, as part of the worship service, the Levites do this part of the worship service when they have these Psalms, these penitent Psalms. So I think that's a message for us.
Okay.
You know, when we worship and sing songs or pray prayers, that, you know, have more penitent type of themes and points to be made.
Okay. That's a good point, Rocky. When I actually say that, I never thought of it that way. But there is one song we sing, The Pure in Heart. And that's a good point. Are there any other comments or thoughts on that? Okay.
As Craig, I was just thinking about it. In that stark contrast is the relief you can see here that he felt after he had that penitent heart, and after he knew his sins, because he knew that. I think maybe he knew that God forgave him. And that weight that's lifted from the heart, actually, no God's forgiven him. I think you can see that.
It has to do with the trust we were talking about.
You can see that he trusts God. He did forgive his sins, and he was back in a relationship with God. And that's just such a, you can't describe that. That's just such a sharp contrast to what he assumed before. Things you see through here in his physical appearance and such as the weight that was on him. That's
right.
Just such a difference, a sharp contrast.
So, sin can weigh heavy on us. And in Psalm 32, 3 through 4, we just looked at some of that, and I just stressing that point. When I kept silent about my sin, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was drained away as with the fever heat of summer. And also down in verse 6 where it talks about surely in a flood of great waters they will not reach him. This idea of being overwhelmed. So we need to be a people that's upright in heart, and we should be honest about things, about ourselves. And we need to recognize our error and confess our sin. For he is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins. In Psalms 33:10, it says that many are the sorrows of the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, loving kindness shall surround him.
Was that the right Psalm?
No. Did I write the
32.
Wrong?
32.
Oh, did I? 32. I said 33. I'm sorry. 32:10. It was close.
I said, what version are you looking at?
So, the word according to Craig.
Sorry about that. It is Psalm 32:10. Please change that on your lesson, because I did put the 33 in the lesson.
Is the computer's fault?
Yeah.
It's called operator error.
Correct. Okay, so these examples that we just looked at about David have to do with specific sin that he was aware of, okay? But we know that when we know that we've committed sin, we need to flee from that and to ask for forgiveness. But I'm not trying to imply that we have to know sin specifically in order to be forgiven. And I'll try to explain what I mean as we go along. We can ask for forgiveness for things that we have done in ignorance. Things we do not realize as sin. And I'm not giving an excuse for us not to grow. We should always try to grow in our knowledge of God's will. We should always try to see what our errors in our life are. And especially when we realize God knows our attitude towards this. So we need to keep that in mind. In Psalm 19:12, it says, who can discern his errors? Discern is to perceive, or to see clearly. So who can perceive or see clearly his errors? And then point B of this says, acquit me of hidden faults. We can see that there are faults that we will have that we might not be aware of. Can we ask for forgiveness of these? Okay. David did. In Leviticus, the 16th chapter, Leviticus 16:21. In 16:21 it says, then Aaron shall lay both of his hands on the head of the live goat and confess over it all the iniquities of the sons of Israel and all their transgressions in regard to all their sins. Whose sins was Aaron confessing? Okay, the sons of Israel. So when it says this, do we think that he's confessing everyone's specifically these individual sins, he's naming these sins one by one, or that would be. I think most of us see that. No, right. I mean, the sins are covered, but he's not naming, you know, each individual sin. But it says all iniquities, all their transgression, all their sin. This was to cover all their sins, but
it's like a generic umbrella.
well, if Aaron had to name each sin specifically for all these people, that would take a little while. Did you have a thought?
No, that goat would have died.
Isn't that a little different than us? I mean, that's a priest praying, you know, for their sins. We don't have that today.
Okay.
Where someone else can pray for our sins, right?
Right. As far as the idea of someone else praying for our sins, we have a mediator.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't need a priest, but I would still think the same ideas would apply. I mean, we can still ask for forgiveness. We can sometimes. I like to pray that I might see errors in my life, okay? Mm-hmm. And then, of course, like we were talking about our attitude, we have to have the attitude that when we understand this is error, we've got to change these things. But we can also ask for things that we do in ignorance or in error. We might not know specifically because we might not have grown to that point yet.
Mm-hmm.
But it has to do with our attitude. And we can still ask for forgiveness of these things. But, of course, if we know what we're doing is wrong, God knows our attitude on that as well. Yes, sir.
Craig, sometimes when we think about sin, we always think about sin as thou shalt not.
Right.
And we think, sin is always thou shalt not. What about sin that thou shalt? How many things we know
left undone
that we don't do?
Right.
If that's God's will, we don't do that. That's sin.
Correct.
And I know when I normally pray, I'll go to God and ask for a specific thing, but also say, forgive me for all the things I left undone I should have been doing.
Yes, sir.
All the doors of opportunity that I had that I didn't take advantage of, or not being the type of person I ought to be, or, you know, talking to people about the gospel, or, you know, there's a lot of that, and, you know, you consider that. You talk about the hidden sins.
That's a good point, Rob. Yeah, because things we leave undone, because that can be a lot sometimes, things that we leave undone. And of course, like you said, if we know of specific sin, of course, we need to recognize that and we need to confess that and flee from it. But also, I think we can ask for forgiveness of things we do in ignorance or things that we don't do in ignorance also. Plus, things we don't do we know we should do. So I think there's a lot to be covered on that. Are there any other thoughts or comments on that? No? Okay. Did that help any?
Okay.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. In 1 John 1:7, we'll look over at 1 John. John 1:7 says, "The blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." Then we, if we jump down to verse 9, it says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful." So we're to confess our sins and to keep on confessing. And this has to do with our awareness of guilt and need for Jesus. And we also need to have the right attitude towards forgiveness. Of course, some of the things we were just looking at, but also if we keep in mind what we read in Matthew 6 in last class, we'll look over back at Matthew 6. When we were looking at this model prayer, if you will, this example, in verse 12, it tells us something. It says, "Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors." Okay, when Jesus is teaching how we should pray, this is one thing that was mentioned. So, forgiveness is mentioned, but there's something that goes along with that. It has to do with our attitude towards forgiving others. Verse 14, "For if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive you your transgressions," or forgive your transgressions. And then if we'll just turn couple page over to Matthew 18. We have an example here that can help us in understanding some of this as well. And we'll start in verse 21. We'll read 21 through 35 of Matthew 18. "Then Peter came and said to him, 'Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to 7 times? Jesus said to him, 'I do not say to you up to 7 times, but up to 70 times 7. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he had begun to settle them, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. But since he did not have the means to repay, the Lord commanded him to be sold, along with his wife and children and all that he had, and repayment to be made. So the slave fell to the ground and prostrated himself before him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will repay you everything. And the Lord of that slave felt compassion and released him and forgave him the debt. But that slave went out and found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. And he seized him and began to choke him, saying, Pay back what you owe. So his fellow slave fell to the ground and began to plead with him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will repay you. But he was unwilling and went and threw him in prison until he should pay back what was owed. So when his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were deeply grieved and came and reported to their lord all that had happened. Then summoning him, his lord said to him, You wicked slave, I forgave you all the debt, all that debt, because you pleaded with me. Should you not also have mercy on the fellow slave in the same way that I had mercy on you?" And his Lord, moved with anger, handed him over to the torturers until he should repay all that was owed him. My heavenly Father will also do the same to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart. So, note that this is a point that Jesus himself makes. Just like we looked at when he was teaching in this prayer, that Jesus is stressing this point about forgiving, or if you're expecting forgiveness, you need to be one who forgives those who have who are in debt to you. Now, was a slave, I asked the question, was a slave forgiven his debt by his master?
At first, yes.
Okay, yes. Verse 27 tells us that the Lord of that slave felt compassion and released him and forgave him the debt. But what changed this? Why did the master change his mind about this?
Because the slave didn't forgive.
Okay.
Who owed him.
Right, so there was a fellow slave that owed him, and he just totally forgot what had just happened to him, I guess, you know, and so...
Well, why stated, he had compassion. He felt compassion.
Right, right. And my point is that the slave that had been forgiven didn't show that compassion towards the other slave. He kind of... It just went out the window, I guess, what had just happened to him. You know, and you can see that at times that people will do one thing, or they expect one thing from other people but aren't willing to do it themselves. But our point on this is that if we're going to expect or ask forgiveness, then we need to be a people that are forgiving to others. What was the outcome? Okay, in verse 34, it said that the slave's Lord was moved with anger, and he handed the slave over to the torturers until he could repay what was owed. Okay, so what does this tell us about our attitude towards forgiving others?
Well, we're going to be... Jesus is going to forgive us as we show forgiveness to others.
Okay.
Is that what you're looking for?
So we have to forgive those who sin against us.
Just like Jesus, the Lord wants us to be just like Himself. He's
okay.
Forgiving. And if we're not, then we're going to serve the gospel. It's very obvious. Here to me, if that's judgment, it's going to fall upon us.
Okay. So in verse 35, it said, "My heavenly Father will also do the same to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart." Okay, so it has to do our attitude, our heart.
Right,
we have to have a forgiving heart. Now, I know in this case, Jesus was addressing Peter's question in verse 21 about how often we should pray. Or it said, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him?" I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say pray. "And I forgive him." And basically, Jesus said that there was no limit to that. Do you have a point, Rocky, or a thought?
Yeah, this forgiveness, maybe there's one aspect that maybe we forget about. I think it's true, if I'm mistaken, correct me. And that is a penance. If we have a person who sins against a person, in not all circumstances will that person necessarily need to forgive that person.
Correct.
There's the aspect of being impenitent.
Right.
Just like when Christ, you know, if we confess our sins, we forgive. So there's the aspect of penitence. So if someone could do something wrong to us, we may not need to forgive that person if they're not penitent and ask for forgiveness. They're showing some type of penitent spirit. So my point here is that forgiveness, there's a condition of penitence, being penitent toward the one you've offended.
I agree. I almost mentioned that in that other verse because I didn't want to imply that they didn't have to ask for forgiveness or have penitence. Because when I was just reading that a few minutes ago, I could see how it almost implies that. And I don't want to imply that. I mean, they indeed do have to have a penitent heart and either show that or ask forgiveness.
Sometimes we as Christians might feel we got to forgive in all circumstances.
Right.
I think that's the case.
Right.
Sometimes we just maybe go overboard.
Right. I agree. Yes, sir.
The verse turns here is parallel in this statement. We said before.
Which verse?
17, Luke 17:4.
Okay.
He sins against you seven times a day and returns to you seven times, saying, "I repent, forgive me."
Right.
He brings in Rocky's point.
Right. That's a good point. I'm gonna note that to you, sir. Okay.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Before you move on, one thing that I think we need to consider is forgiving ourselves.
Okay.
That can be an obstacle, that you can be penitent and you can be sorry and you can ask the Lord for forgiveness.
Okay.
But sometimes the biggest obstacle is forgiving yourself.
Okay.
I mean, I've had that problem before.
Okay. Well, that's a good point. So we need to, especially if we're...
So we don't get discouraged. I mean, we need to forgive ourselves. And
right.
It may take a process to do that. But I know that I've struggled with that before, forgiving myself.
Well, we've got to realize that when we're asking for this forgiveness, mm-hmm. you know, that it is forgiven. And I understand what you mean. Yeah, we can maybe dwell upon it too much and we shouldn't. I mean, we see examples like Paul. He had many things that he could beat himself up about, I guess, my terminology. But we see from his writings, he trusts and knows and believes that he was forgiven. He doesn't dwell on those things. He does make mention of them, but when he mentions them, he does it in a way to teach. But that's a good point.
You know how in this people, you know, asking us to forgive them and then we show them forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
The point being made here, we're in situations all the time where, for my example, someone cutting someone off while they're driving.
Okay.
This is a stranger. They don't know us from Adam.
Okay.
But we take offense to it. And they probably did not realize they were cutting us off or anything like that. So I think we need to have an open and forgiving heart in that aspect as well. Because they can't stop in the middle of the freeway and say, "Oh, did I cut you off? I'm so sorry. Please forgive me."
No, but they could go, and then I'll forgive them. But if they, but you know,
I wasn't pointing the finger at you. I mean,
I'm doing much better.
Yeah.
Now that there's a sense to that, but I don't know. Some of that maybe falls in under patience too. So. Are there
you're
any?
You're going to get your blood all boiling over something like that.
Yeah, those kind of things are more likely sin would be on your part.
Right, wow. Right. Yeah. That's true.
And all he did is, you know, he may have done this, he just, it wasn't intended.
Yeah.
You know, he did it.
A lot of times you just don't have any time to sin because they didn't flat run over you.
That's what I was.
Are there any other thoughts or comments?
Yes,
ma'am.
I have a thought. We have to be careful, I think, about forgiveness and not forgiveness. Just because a person doesn't ask for forgiveness doesn't mean we have the right to carry a grudge against that person. We have to be very careful about that.
Okay. And you say carry a grudge, but not necessarily forgive them. Right, okay.
But our attitude has to be right, too.
Okay. Any thoughts, comments on that?
Okay. They don't ask for forgiveness. We don't have to forgive them, but
right.
We can't.
Can't be mean to them.
Right.
Can't. And you, the problem is when you hold a grudge, you hurt yourself more than you hurt anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be careful of that, I think.
I mean, just remember, God makes point, vengeance is mine.
Right.
And
so, right.
I mean, in this life, people are going to sin, and you're going to sin. Hopefully you'll get forgiveness because you repent of it. But there are going to be people that are that sin and never repent of it. And that, you know, it may be against you.
Right.
Leave it to God to do the punishing.
Yeah.
Because He will in this time.
Yeah, we can trust that He will.
A, we ought not try to do it for Him.
Right.
And B, we ought not lose confidence in God's ability to do it. Leave it to Him. We go
yes.
on with our life. Besides, right, and that grudge can bury you.
Right.
So it's not what you want to do.
Yeah, because it just build up and cause you to sin. So it's, yeah. Any other thoughts or comments? Or? No? Okay. Are we on page 26 on knowledge yet?
Yep, starting place.
Oh, no. We didn't get there yet.
Well, that's where it's done.
Okay. I have some extra stuff.
Ow. See, you don't want to see the teacher's copy.
Well, that's why I was trying to look over there. You would couldn't remember how I had yours. Trying to see, this might be stuff that we've already kind of just covered. One thing we need to note in connection with this is verse 26. I mean, I think we were still in Matthew. Yes, okay, Matthew 18. Verses 26, 29, and 32 tell us about these we are to forgive. And what do these verses imply? And we kind of covered some of that. But verse 26 is to, it says, have patience with me and I will repay you everything. Verse 32, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And we see the same idea with the fellow slave that was trying to repay his debt to the wicked slave. Now, verse 29, so his fellow slave fell to the ground and began to plead with him, saying, have patience with me, and I will repay you. So in this parable, Jesus speaks of how these men are to be forgiven their debt. And in the text, these men did not ask for the debt to be forgiven. We see that in these verses, be patient with me, I will repay. Because they had the attitude in this debt that they were wanting to repay the debt that they owed. They were seeking to repay. But in the question that Peter asks, he asks how often is he to forgive. So before Jesus speaks the parable, he tells Peter he is to forgive, you know, this indefinitely amount of time, or as we kind of looked at, as often as it is sought or asked, as often as they seek it. So the idea is the way that we seek forgiveness is to ask. So we need to ask for forgiveness and have the heart that is willing to forgive when it's asked from us. So we're going to start on C on our next class. We'll pick up there. Thank y'all for y'all's comments.